ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Why do humans hold on to stuff? Oddments we don't use and yet can't quite throw out. It's not just you and me. Australia's oldest library is crammed with stuff that isn't books. Terrible paintings, old menus, human hair. Is this history or hoarding? I'm Annabelle Crabb. Come and have a rummage through the story of us told by our stuff. Search for the History or Hoarding podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Albanese government has announced a sweeping overhaul of the National Disability Insurance Scheme, with 160,000 participants to be booted from the scheme within 4 years. Underpinned by four key pillars, the reform looks to rein in spending and unsustainable growth and to clamp down on the chaotic free-for-all market that's built up. That's according to the minister. It's big. It's very, very big change. It will be controversial. It comes as the government puts $3 billion extra in aged care packages and support as Labor looks to tackle a profound generational challenge with boomers making their way into the aged care system. Welcome to Politics Now. Hi, I'm Patricia Carvalis.
And I'm David Spears.
And David, we have to start and centre everything around the NDIS. This is a huge change. You're just fresh from Mark Butler's press club address.
And apologies for any breathlessness because, yes, it's been a quick bolt from the press club down the road back to Parliament
House. Well, it's funny you ask that because our producer Lara said to me, how long does it take? I said, look, it's a 15-minute walk for me. But you did a little run. Thank you.
Can I confess that despite fuel prices being where they were, I actually took the car just so I could be sure
I'd be back here. No, that's because you wanted to deliver for the people of Australia.
Exactly.
So you ran and that's what we wanted. So tick, you've met your actuarial projections.
Thank you, BK.
The central message from Mark Butler is that this scheme is unsustainable. It's grown too fast. We can't afford for the NDIS to fail. But my goodness, David, I have covered this scheme since its inception as of you. I'm actually a little bit blown away by how big Labor went. This is the sort of cut, I want to say what I reckon before I throw it to you, that you would expect that a coalition government would deliver. And Labor has delivered it. It's their baby. Tell us what the changes are.
Yeah, it's even bigger than that, I would suggest. So you're right, we've heard this language for, well, some years now from Labor about the need to address the sustainability within the NDIS. What Mark Butler has just announced goes a lot further than what anyone thought. They kept the details of this super tight. We didn't know, even as we sat down and he started speaking, what he was going to announce. And what we just heard goes a lot further than I think anyone was speculating on this. He didn't put a figure on the four-year savings here, but I understand, PK, that it is around $20 billion that they're planning to save through these changes the minister has just announced to the NDIS. That's huge in anyone's language. There are some changes they want to move on immediately. They will introduce legislation in the budget sitting in a couple of weeks or a few weeks, and I understand they'll want to pass this legislation in that budget session so that it's in place by June 30. That'll put a lot of pressure on the coalition in particular to back this. I don't think Labor's expecting the Greens will back this. So a lot of pressure will be on Angus Taylor to come good and back these budget savings in the NDIS. Now, what are the changes? Well, there are quite a few. Some of them go to more registered providers. A big part of it in the short term goes to getting down the plan inflation. And that in particular goes to these community support workers that are funded through the NDIS or community participation, community and social participation. I'll get the language right eventually. And look, the criticism here is that this involves participants in the NDIS being taken by often, you know, sometimes an international student who's doing this work, not necessarily a highly trained disability worker, to do things in the community, to engage them in society. They want to really pare that back and go back to having, the minister referred to arts groups and other community engagement organisations that can involve people with a disability without an individual support worker having to take them around in the community. That's how they want to get a big saving. But then the eligibility for the NDIS, getting the numbers down from 760,000 to 600,000 by 2030. That's going to involve booting people off, isn't it? And that's going to take some time. They're not going to get that done by June 30. They're going to take some months with a working group to, and include the states and territories, to work out how to do this. But instead of a diagnosis-based admission to the NDIS, they're going to have a different approach to this to get those numbers down. And what really struck me, PK, was that this was a Labor minister talking about the design flaws in the NDIS. This was the first time I'd heard that language, and he said it more than once. He said it quite a few times, these design flaws, and principally we're talking there about having a demand-driven scheme. What did he call it? The sort of chaos of this demand-driven scheme. So he's acknowledging the design flaws there from the beginning in this Labor baby.
Yeah. They still try and blame the coalition for it. But, you know, I've said this on this podcast before. I will say it again. I'm not saying that the coalition's changes were perfect, but they did try and give it a red hot go and were opposed. So now it falls into Labor's responsibility in its fourth year of government, in its second term, to go big. I agree that it's bigger than big. And this is one of the biggest deals, I reckon. So in terms of the access to the scheme, moving to assessments of a person's functional capacity, that's huge rather than relying on the diagnosis alone. That inevitably means, do you remember when even Bill Shorten would say it has to become something for the profoundly disabled? So you can see in that assessment that it's about how can you function in the world. So who does that exclude?
Well, he was a little careful there to say, you know, that they're not just people with autism.
Psychosocial.
I thought he was stronger on the psychosocial and mental illness. That's not a target here. But, you know, obviously people are going to be looking at the huge growth in the number of people with autism on the scheme. And that, I think, is, you know, where they're looking. They want to get it back to being a more high needs scheme than those with autism. We heard this last year when it comes to kids under 9 and the plan to set up Thriving Kids at the state level to take a lot of those kids. But now it's all ages that they're really talking about here. There will be reassessments. He said that's normal, but with the new eligibility rules that will be worked up, yes, you're going to see people removed from this scheme. So there'll be a lot of nervousness about this. We're only recording this straight hot off the back of the announcement. The sector groups, as I left the press club, were all lining up to respond. So we'll see what they say, I'm sure. I had a quick chat with a couple of them on the way out as I ran out of the room. And look, some of those I spoke to, Alan Fells in particular, was happy with what the minister had announced to put it back onto a more sensible footing. But there'll be other groups very worried, I'm sure, about the uncertainty this creates now for the next couple of years before the January 1, 2028 start date of these new changes, because people will be removed from the scheme.
Of course they will. So look at the projections, right? By the end of the decade, now they want 600,000 people on the scheme. That's their new goal. The previous estimate was around 900,000. So if you look at where it was growing to, this is a massive reduction in this scheme. And the minister also announced that everyone's going to be reassessed, David. That was part of the announcement. He made it clear, and then there was a follow-up question. He said, yep, it was in my speech. Now, that's huge in terms of the anxiety that creates for everyone to be reassessed. It won't all happen. It'll sort of be rolled out.
Well, yeah, he did point out that people do get reassessed in the current scheme, but with the new rules, once they're worked up, that reassessment, of course, will be against a different bar, if you like.
Yeah, which means that if you are eligible, you may become ineligible.
Yeah. We've talked a lot over the years about the growth rate of the NDIS. When Labor came in, as they like to point out, it was growing at 22%. They then set that target of getting it down to 8% at National Cabinet with the states and territories. It turns out that achieving that was proving impossible. They just could not rein in a demand-driven scheme that they couldn't control. And they realised that over the last 12 months or so, that they couldn't get to that 8%, let alone the 5 or 6% they started talking about last year. So now, much more drastic surgery. Mark Butler just announced that they're going to, over the coming 4 years, forward estimates, have an average growth rate of 2%. Now, that's an average annual growth rate of 2%. That means some years, I'm told, it won't be negative, but it will be flat, right? Because the first year, you'd think they're not going to get anywhere near that. the next couple of years, they're going to have basically no growth for an average of 2% over the 4 years. Then after that, they get back. He says once we've reset the whole thing, then after that, it'll go back to a 5% growth rate beyond that. But these figures for the next 4 years, PK, an average 2% growth rate of the NBN, that's so much more severe than anything we
don't forget.
Expect.
This is a scheme, everyone listening, that was growing at 20%.
Mm.
To get it to 2%, just compare those, you know, they're at the extremes to the growth, a radical reduction in the growth they want to get to versus where they were, and they're already down to 10% from that. That's like radically different scheme to what it had turned into. Now, the big question is, have they built a case for this change? Well, if you look at community sentiment, and actually the polling I had in my column on Monday was also in Mark Butler's speech. That's a Labor pollster, Talbot Mills, that did this polling for them, which shows that the support for the NDIS delivering value for money has really reduced. And so they feel like they've got the public support behind them. You talk about the coalition needing to support this if they want to get it through. Yeah, you're right. The Greens are playing a pretty interesting line on this, which is that, I don't know, do they think it should just grow at any rate? Like, they're not really talking.
Pretty much.
Spoke to the Greens leader, so I was a bit shocked, actually. I was like, yeah. I know the Greens support this, but it was like it could just grow with sort of limitlessly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're not playing at all in this area. Obviously, they are going to champion the people who are being thrown off, and there will be people thrown off. So the coalition has to get behind it. Will they? Well, I don't know how they can't, David, because the politics for them is bizarre if they all of a sudden oppose it.
Yeah, so a couple of things. This is ambitious. To think that we can get this level of reduction over the next 4 years is highly ambitious. There's a lot of work to be done to work out exactly how. But if we are to accept as a principle, this is what, you know, we want to do, get it down to this level. The question for the parliament immediately will be, you know, do we back this or not? Now, I think the Greens, I watched your interview with Larissa Waters yesterday, Jordan Steele, John this morning on the radio, similar position. You're right. They're not willing to say there should be any limit on the growth rate. But I do think they've landed on a pretty sharp line, which is you're cutting people's disability support, but refusing to tax the gas export is enough. They're linking those two together. And I think for the Greens' point of view, that's not a, you know, that's a pretty sharp angle to take on this.
Yeah.
So look, I you can't write it off, but I don't think there's much chance of the Greens backing what Labor's just laid
well,
out.
Well, I can tell you that the Greens senator, who's actually uses a wheelchair in the parliament,
yeah,
Jordan Steele John, has just spoken on ABC TV and has said, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
Now that is a, you know, pretty emotive word.
Look, he'll be devastated by this. Absolutely. There's no chance the Greens are going to back this, let's be honest. But for the coalition then comes the big question. The Shadow Minister, Melissa McIntosh, has been a little bit critical of, you know, where the government might cut on the NDIS. And I think sending out signals that maybe, they're not happy with some cuts. Angus Taylor, as the leader, though, has been sounding far more cooperative with Labor. Every time he's asked, he says, I'm willing to work in a bipartisan way with Labor on this. I don't think the coalition and Angus Taylor would have much credibility on budget management if they don't back, you know, this sort of approach from Labor. The details will matter. The opposition should scrutinise all of that and, you know, take their time to do that. But what do you think? I'd be surprised if the coalition balks at really trying to bring this thing under control.
Yeah, but it will be tempting still, because there'll be a lot of very devastating stories that come out of this,
yes,
inevitably. Can you imagine story after story, newspaper, on television program, families devastated, where do we go now? Like, you can just imagine,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. This won't be easy.
A tsunami of these voices. Yep. And they, coalition, might be tempted at the short-term politics, and there is short-term politics here. However, you are right on the broader kind of fiscal management argument. They couldn't get away with it. People like you and me, David, will go, what? You know, you, how can you? So I agree with that. So it brings me to, what price does Labor pay for this? Because this is radical. It's not small.
Yeah.
It's not incremental. It's not just a little haircut. We're just giving you a little trim. You've got some split ends. This is like, whoa, we're going to shave your head and start again, right? Like, really, it is, I think. So who does it hurt them? Well, they've got the big buffer, of course, a lot of seats, blah, blah, blah. I think it'll chip away a little at Labor. I do. I think they've got enough political cover, and the fact that the NDIS was losing public support helps them. But those stories will hurt them and they'll still be written whether the coalition votes for it or not.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I think, look, just quickly talking to Labor people in the room about the political risk of what they've just announced, they're all playing it down. You know, the polling that you wrote about, Mark Butler referred to, what you hear on Talkback Radio as well, all indicate that now's the time to do this. There's a clear community concern about the ballooning cost of the NDIS and an appetite to really take the scalpel to this, get it under control, for fear of it all falling over. So I think Labor's aware of that and sees this as the moment to act. Not to mention the broader budget problems that I think there's growing concern about, this global volatility with the war and fuel prices, and you know, people perhaps want to see the government doing something big. However, once we get beyond those, easy to highlight cases of how money's being frittered away on the NDIS on very expensive haircuts or taking someone to the movies and that sort of thing, there will be legitimate areas of expense that are making a big difference in people's lives that would suddenly stop under these changes. That's going to be the vulnerability for Labor. Once those stories start to be focused upon and we see that this is actually going to make life a lot harder for some people, that's obviously where it's going to get more difficult for Labor. But this is going to be a slow burn. This is not going to be something, that we necessarily see this week.
No, this is a very slow burn. Strategically here, they've been building to this, getting everyone ready for this. I think in terms of just political management, I think that's been well done. They have one of their most talented ministers in charge of the communications. Mark Butler is, I think, a gifted communicator. And you could see that today in the way he tackled the questions. It's sort of, he does it with such ease. Doesn't mean it's not going to get hairy for him, but he's, I think, in the best shape out of everyone to be able to actually execute this plan. And so there's those kinds of things. And then also just taking it away from being the big hit in the budget by announcing it now strategically, I think, is also smart, so that it's not sort of a blitz on budget night where it's just gloomy stories about NDIS cuts. They'll able to probably focus on some of the intergenerational changes on housing taxes and other things, so that young people can see maybe headlines which are more positive for their future. Don't you think that's the politics?
I think it's fascinating. Yeah, I think it's fascinating. The fact that they've done it ahead of the budget, they wanted some clear air for this. They clearly think, Labor, that they get points for taking some hard decisions, taking some tough decisions that the other side wasn't willing to do, hasn't even proposed anything like this. But they are willing to knock this budget into shape, get this thing under control, even if that means, a rough road ahead politically for them on some of this stuff. They're willing to take that tough decision. I think that's significant, that they clearly believe there are points for them in doing that. Mark Butler, as the minister responsible for this, I mean, one of his colleagues described him to me as the smiling assassin. You can sort of see why that description fits, because he's got a very pleasant demeanour. He's very smooth in the way that he explains these things right across the detail. He did the aged care reform last year, this one now. But, he's making some deep cuts here. And also lining up the states if they don't get on board as well. I mean, he had one answer there where he referred to Queensland, which refused to set up the Thriving Kids so far, reminding them of the $5.7 billion in extra health money, hospital funding they're getting from the feds. Don't forget that, and leaving it dangling as to whether that might be ripped away if they don't get on board with these NDIS changes. So, yeah, he's an effective minister, the right person in this government for this job. But, yeah, I just think the way they've structured this a few weeks out from the budget tells us that they clearly think there's a political upside in looking tough on this.
They do think there's a political upside for looking tough, because there is a political upside and also a political downside. Mm. Like anything, it's that trade-off between will we be marked down or up for this? And the truth is they will be marked up, I think, broadly by the public, that Labor aren't being over the top with their spending or their lack of discipline, that they're showing discipline during tough times. But do not, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, the anxiety in the disability community as they wait for their new assessments under the new rules, that is going to be ugly. David,
it will.
I have seen rollouts of changes before. I'll give you a good example. It's very different, but it makes the same point. Single mothers and Julia Gillard taking single mothers off the more lucrative, just higher, still not, it wasn't very much, but the single parent payment when their kid turned 8, And then Labor, when they get re-returned to government, like right after the Abbott, Turnbull, Morrison years, reverses that change. I know that's a, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you can hurt people and then you have to fix the hurt.
Look at what's happened today. A little sideline announcement on aged care. They made a cut last year for people with a home care package for aged care had to pay out of their own pocket for showering, dressing and incontinence services. They've now reversed that. That's costing them $1 billion. And in fact, the minister flagged some $3 billion will be put back into aged care in the budget. It just shows that last year's cuts, you know, maybe went a little too far and now they've had to correct course. So that happens. I think with something the scale of the NDIS, though, it is on another level. Clearly, if something is currently costing, what is it, $52 billion and is going to grow to $100 billion, it's going to cost the budget more than defence, Medicare, and aged care all combined. That is unsustainable, to put it mildly. They have to do something sensibly to bring that under control. Now, whether this is the right way of doing it, whether this is too much too fast, all of that will be debated, but they do get points for taking the tough decision, I think, in trying to rein in something that was clearly on track, you know, to be a great risk to itself, lose community support entirely and fall apart.
I think the challenge here now for Labor is to ensure that misinformation is not exploited, right? So think about the scare campaigns and the misinformation that constantly happens on the internet, you know, and on all sorts of platforms. You know, you're going to miss out, you're going to be kicked off. That's all going to happen. Mark Butler's easiest job was today. And today was a hard job, by the way. That's why I'm making the point. His hard job is over the next couple of months managing story after story and question after question about every single subcategory and how it affects individuals. This will be really hard political management. And the PM has to be all over this too, David, because, you know, this falls into his bailiwick. Like, he's the Prime Minister. He has to be able to justify this. It's a Labor program and now Labor's the one smashing it in some ways. By the way, I say smashing it sounds very derogatory. Maybe smashing it back into shape, maybe.
Saving
like,
it.
Depends
what
view you
it.
Have.
Exactly.
Saving it. Because that's the other view.
Yeah.
I'm not actually in this category, but I want to put it to you, because a few people believe this, because Labor's been briefing this. Oh, if we don't do this, the scheme will become so out of control, it'll have to end. Now, I'm not sure that we're quite at a momentum where people thought the scheme should be stopped. I don't think that was about to happen. I think the public would have marked any government down for getting rid of a scheme like this. So I don't think it was at quite that crisis level. However, I do accept the logic that you can't just pay endless amounts of money with, you know, such lax rules that it just grows in a way that you can't afford it. But I do think that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think there's strong community support to have an NDIS to look after people with a disability and do it in a much better way than we used to. Now, clearly there's community concern at where this has grown to, but you're right, you know, ending it all together was not necessarily where this was going to go, but some serious work was needed to it. Look, you know, step back in a big picture sense. What Jim Chalmers said the other day about this being the central biggest savings measure in the budget, clearly understatement. He was right about that. Mm-hmm. This is big. Coming back to what I said earlier, my understanding is this is $20 billion over the next 4 years in savings. It does show the government's seriousness about trying to fix the budget. And so, you know, right across the political debate about budget management, this will help them to be able to point to this and say, this is how serious we are. You guys never did anything like this. We're taking serious steps to knock this growth rate of the NDIS into shape. We'll see where they land on budget night. They now have clear air on the housing front, capital gains tax, negative gearing, presumably is going to be the big budget night announcement. But maybe this gives them some latitude there now to, you know, they've gone after the disability sector. Now they're going after, they'll be able on budget night to go after the property investors as well. So we'll see where that goes. But they've shown some mettle, I think, this week on the NDIS.
Yeah, and also answered the critics who say, oh, Labor, they just can't control spending. They've said, we are going to control one of our favourite children, which is the NDIS, right? And you try and tell your favourite child that they can't use your credit card nonstop. I mean, it's a hard thing to do, David, but we all have to have these conversations. That's it for Politics Now today. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, BK.
but you'll be back in the feed on Saturday for Insiders on Background, and you've got a very interesting guest lined up.
Yeah, John Bolton, people will know from the first Trump administration. He's fallen out since with Donald Trump, but he will be sharing his views on where things are at with the war, because while we're talking NDIS, I'm sure by the weekend, if there's peace talks happening, we don't know. But anyway, we'll be back talking about where things are at in the Middle East and for Donald Trump.
We will. And tomorrow, Fran is back for the Party Room. We'll be joined by 7:30 host Sarah Ferguson to look at the week in politics and talk about more of these issues. And if you've got a question, Chief Election Analyst Casey Briggs will answer them with me. Send them to thepartyroom@abc.net.au. See you, David.
See you, PK.